We did it about there 3 times. We just kept it going and then people kept coming. So it was just like, maybe this is something we can actually try doing.
This is the Drinking Buddy Show, where we explore food, craft beverage pairings, and the entrepreneurs and tastemakers behind them. I'm Frank, founder of Drinking Buddy Artisan Snacks. On today's show, I'll be chatting with two young beverage entrepreneurs from LA, Steve and Kevin Wu of Ink Coffee and Craft. We'll learn about their startup, delivering coffee, mocktails, and flavored milk concoctions door-to-door as sustainably as possible. Steve and Kevin are two of three brothers in the Wu family and have grown up in K-Town and Torrance in LA. Steve has worked as a barista, barback, and bartender to help support himself and his family. His younger brother Kevin helped him prepare mocktails for family members and friends, leading to a few pop-up events at local cafes and the start of Ink Coffee and Craft.
My name is Kevin, and I'm a middle child and the second out of three brothers. Not yet 20, but turning 20, but still in college. I go to El Camino College. So born in K-Town, lived there till around when I was sophomore year. So I'd be like 14, 15, and then moved into Torrance and been here ever since.
I'm Steve, the oldest brother. I grew up in different parts of LA, Gardena, Compton, Culver City, just like moving schools around. We moved to Torrance after I graduated high school because our youngest brother, he's legally blind and there's a visually impaired school.
You know, growing up in LA, it's very different than from growing up in Torrance. We used to move around a little bit when we were younger. I moved to different elementary schools twice and then I moved to different high school twice. So it's like growing up, we did kind of move around a little bit. And especially going and moving into different cities, it was very interesting because they both had different cultures, even though they were really close by. Lifestyle culture, Torrance was more beach vibe and LA was more that city nightlife. So it was very interesting growing up in LA.
What are you studying at school?
Right now I'm studying marketing. I learned a lot and it's definitely translating a lot into social media.
Is it a focus on digital marketing or is it just marketing in general?
They do generalize into just regular general marketing, but then they've started specifically getting into digital marketing, especially because of the trend and how digital marketing is becoming everyone's source of information. It's such a weird thing because like you have to learn how to navigate this new thing. It's still ever changing and evolving.
First, I went to Hamilton High School in Culver City. And then I went to LACES, Los Angeles Center for Enriched Studies in LA. I went to El Camino College. I'm studying hospitality management.
Rough time.
No. It's like, I don't know what to do. All my friends don't know what to do with their degree. All the hotels are closed. Airlines are basically closed. Tourist sites are not even in the question. And restaurants are going through such a tough time that I think it just kind of makes sense to what we're doing because we're still in the hospitality department and we're doing what we love and it's our own thing.
Now you list quite a lot of things that you're into.
So mostly those are like interests and hobbies that I've kind of acquired, like desk setups. I really love tech. Tech is like the biggest thing. And I really like backpacks. And so it's surprisingly each of them are all interconnected. Like they each help each other out. When you have a desk setup, you want tech on it in order to make it look nice and in order to have a work efficiency flow. And so let's say you're done using your desk, then you can take your laptop and then transition it to your backpack and then go out.
Steve shares how he got into the beverage scene.
After doing a couple serving jobs, to be honest, I needed a lot more money to help pay for things around here, around the house. So I just got into bartending at 19, started off as a barback. Went to small school and then got into catering and then went to different barback places and then got more into craft cocktail bars as we started learning there. Then I worked at Beverly Hills for a little bit as a bartender. And then while doing all this, coffee was always a passion because that's where all my friends and I went before and after our shift. That was where we always hung out because a lot of my friends are always working or doing something else. So that was like our only time we get to hang out. So it was always like a special place for me. So after I did bartending for a little bit, I just really wanted to get into coffee. And an opportunity came up here in Torrance where I was able to get a job as a barista. So I just went on it full time while still going to school full time. And then that's how I got into both. But in the beginning, bartending was just a way to pay bills. But I really fell in love with the craft and what it means and what it stands for a lot of people.
When we return, Steve and Kevin share how they started Ink, Coffee, and Craft. Thanks for listening so far. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. Then head to www.thedrinkingbuddyshop.com and pick up some tasty pub snacks, barware, and more. Every purchase he makes helps us support small family-owned businesses in rural Japan and bring you more delicious, unique snacks to pair with your favorite beverages. Special thanks to all of you that have already started enjoying our snacks and sharing them with your buddies.
For us, Ink has always been, at the beginning, while we do cocktails and just coffee drinks, a lot of people ask us, like, can you make something that's non-alcoholic, but still resembles a craft cocktail? And even working at craft cocktails or other cocktail bars, the only option usually that they gave you for non-alcoholic drinks was like a Shirley Temple, soda, or sometimes even just water. And I just started off as a hobby, making it for all our friends and family. When we have parties, some people didn't want to drink, so I would make them something a little bit different, a little bit more special. Yeah, before COVID. And this was not like boba drinks or just tea and fruit juices, but something that really took a lot of time and care into. And then after that, someone just said at the place I used to work before, like, hey, why don't you try a pop-up here? In order to do that, they're like, you have to have all your ducks in order. So I went out and got everything ready, got a business license, website, everything. I didn't know what I was doing, but I went ahead and did the pop-up. So many people came to support and try our drinks that we were just like, hey, like, why don't we try this one more time? And before, I was doing this by myself, but at the day at the pop-up, it was so busy. My brother just hopped on and just helped with everything. So we were like, why don't we do this again? And then a couple months later, we did it at Concha Ice Cream in Gardena. Best ice cream in South Bay, by the way. We did it about there three times. We did it in another cafe. We just kept it going and then people kept coming. So it was just like, maybe this is something we can actually try doing. But ultimately, Ink is supposed to be more than just a drink company. What a representation of Ink is more of what we believe and we wanted to achieve. We want to be a company that helps other people, lower income families, people of color, or anybody else that needs an opportunity or chance. And we just happen to sell good drinks, but that's just the beginning. What our goal for Ink is to become like an international
global scale
company that is dedicated to help people be sustainable, create communities, and that just happens to sell drink. But our focus is on helping other people. That's what I would say. Growing up, I saw a lot of my friends grow up and saying like, hey, I have no purpose in life. I feel like my life is kind of meaningless. Some joined gangs, some just disappeared, just like in their home playing games all the time. Or it was just kind of sad. And they were like really smart, amazing, talented people. And to be honest, I just think everyone in life has a God-given purpose that is meant to do something extraordinary and helping others and giving back to the community, however small it may be. Whether you're making someone else smile again or just a hi, or if you're going to be the support for another person, whatever you may be doing or may do, I think everyone has a greater purpose in life that is meant for other people to help, but people just can't find that. And we want to be the people that helps them find it. So in a way, like if life was a blank canvas, everyone has a quote unquote, a design or a purpose that they're meant for. Something great, something good. And a lot of people just can't see it, like what they're here for. And we want to be a company that helps people find their purpose, especially people with no opportunity, not enough resources, and not enough education. We want to be the one that helps them find it. They're the Ink. We're just going to help them find their own design.
Steve and Kevin share the challenges they face as they build Ink, Coffee, and Craft.
It's just the two of us doing everything from marketing, making drinks,
finance,
researching, admin, delivering,
yeah,
everything. We do this and we have our other jobs that we work at and we're helping our parents with their business and whatever we can do, you know?
Yeah. And then just learning all aspects of the business is something that we're both kind of learning and growing. It's been tough, but it's a skill we're learning in each part of the business. So once we get workers, once we get employees, once we get people to come along on this journey, we are able to lead them because we've been in each position.
To be honest, we don't have a step-by-step plan. Just because we want to do so many things, we want to be big enough to open a storefront or at least get in a high-end boutique store for certain drinks. Once we have enough capital, we want to go into our other passions and hobbies like desk setups, backpacks and stuff like that. And then once we have all those other companies, we just want to give it away to people who need it or people who we've recruited and worked with and we believe is passionate about what we're doing as well and just give them our business. Right now, we are debating about opening a storefront, especially with what's going on with COVID. I feel like so many people are going through tough times, especially like mask, no mask, or takeout. So we have the cloud kitchen that we're working on. So everything is based online. And we see a trend moving towards all takeout online. Or not as much sit-down restaurant unless you have an outdoor patio space. So we're just trying to see what we can do. I guess we're kind of on standby, ready to move in any direction if we have to.
Yeah. There's definitely been a lot of people doing DIY, like do it themselves. And it's been very interesting because that's another growing market. YouTube, again, is another growing market where people are sharing how to do their own recipes and things like that. So it's definitely growth in a lot of different industries.
We see a lot of like potential, I guess, to whatever we may do to maybe even go into the DIY market for our drinks. But yeah, I think there's so many opportunities and potential in so many spaces that we're just trying to attack it one by one. Yeah, I think, was it Gary Vee who said it? We want to provide value to people, whatever we may be doing, from our Instagram posts to this podcast or whatever it may be, or even if we were to start a YouTube channel, like we want to provide value to people that in a positive manner, whether it's drink recipes or just inspiration or a thought that they never thought of or anything like that. As long as we are providing value, I think we can do something good.
Steve and Kevin talk about their sustainability goals.
So eventually we want to go 100% sustainable. That's something we definitely want to strive for. From the bottles that we use, from the produce we harvest, the method of transportation, and like recycling our products. And ultimately we want to implement that environmentally friendly practices within our company and definitely want to educate ourselves more and try to help others, especially like different cafes. If you go to cafes, they'll use plastic cups. Probably especially right now, they're going to start using less environmentally friendly. And so we want to educate ourselves and learn. And how can we innovate in order to make sure that it's environmentally friendly and you know, safe for the earth and that it won't cause more
harm to the environment? Yeah. So we're actually still in the process of moving from all plastic cups to glass bottles, 16-ounce glass bottles. It's a lot more expensive. Some people come to us and told us, why is everything so pricey? Right now, not a lot of people are supporting. There is a trend towards sustainability, but not a lot of people are willing to pay the price for it. Glass bottles are 10 times more expensive than plastic bottles. It's more easy to break. It's more heavier, so even transporting costs more. What we're using is like Strauss milk, which practices sustainability. And if you want those kind of milks from small dairy farms that doesn't really harm the environment as much, their milks are a lot more expensive with their quality. Everything's a lot more expensive. We use Harry's Berries. We use small batch farmer supporting ingredients, sustainable supplies. It's a lot more pricier than people think. And we want to educate people. It may be more expensive, but on the long run, it's worth it. It's a lot more helpful to the environment. And so we're coming up with different ways, even with delivery. Hopefully, man, if we could drive a Tesla around for delivery, that would be my dream.
Oh, you know? It's just electric silence.
You got to start with the Prius.
Oh, man. We're driving a hybrid, though. So okay. A little bit on there. But yeah, to that or even stickers, we want to come up with like sustainable stickers. Even us, we want to practice it when we're not with ink, whether it's not taking a straw at a restaurant or recycling or anything like that. So yeah, we're trying to come up with new ways to be more sustainable all the time.
Steve and Kevin share the current lineup for Ink, Coffee, and Craft.
So right now we offer three basic different categories. It's cold brew, flavored milks, and mocktails, which is our version of non-alcoholic cocktails. Our most popular ones have been flavored milk so far, which is strawberry milk, banana milk, and black sesame milk, and matcha milk. Cold brew is always really good. We have four different selections, but I think we're going to start moving into direction of focusing on smaller batches to maintain a better quality. And another one is mocktails, which is what we want to focus on and try to start moving towards more. Mocktails can go from tea-based drinks to nectar-based drinks or even our own created base instead of like liquor. We're even trying to implement a lot of like coffee mocktails, which we are seeing a huge trend in like other coffee shops, especially these days. For those kind of drinks, we always recommend certain foods or alcohol to our drinks.
With your mocktails then, so people could just add their favorite base to it?
Yeah, so we have different alcohol recommended for different mocktails. If you get the What the Fruit, we recommend it with rum or white rum, Bacardi or anything like that. Not Your Average Joe tastes really good with gin. I prefer Beefeater or like The Botanist. The Summer Breeze would taste good with any vodka, soju, and then there's even the Tropical Paradise, which tastes really good with soju if you mix it and then shake it up with ice. And anything spicy, I think it complements it very well. It's funny because it was meant to be indulged with the whole family, kids and adults.
A lot of adults have been
adding alcohol into our drinks. They like it even more because we're adding alcohol into it. But after that, we started putting our own alcohol recommendations. And then the non-alcoholic versions, the kids can always enjoy those as well.
So it's like you can half enjoy, especially with the new 16 ounces. You split it like 8-8. 8 to your kids and then 8 to the adults.
It's nice that it's basically a pre-mix. And then you can add your own recommended alcohol and your kids can have a nice drink.
Yeah, we definitely want to try to introduce new flavors. Flavors people have never really thought would be good in a drink.
Yeah, one of our drinks that people look at us weird is the What the Fruit, which is guava nectar, banana syrup that we make in-house, grapefruit juice, lemon juice, soda water, and sage, fresh sage as a garnish, which is actually a really big part of the experience. Even those kind of drinks, we want to be able to show customers there are like really good drinks out there and it doesn't have to be alcoholic. It doesn't have to be just a Shirley Temple and you can enjoy just as much as a regular cocktail or like coffee mocktails.
So are you coming up with new mocktails all the time?
Oh boy. every day. You get sick of it sometimes. This is gross. And then you don't want to drink it, but you still have to perfect it.
It's a lot of like tasting the same thing, always tweaking it, trying to see if you can make it better. Eventually, you're going to have to settle on it, but we're always like, can it be better? Can it be better? Trial. Taste it again and again. It's a lot of resources and money that goes into making each drink. We try to put that into our cost as well, just because it's a lot of time and money that goes into it. But sometimes you lose your sense of taste because like you're tasting the same thing all the time.
That lemon and water, when you like mix it together, it tastes so sour and disgusting, but you have to do it to cleanse the palate. And it really works.
Yeah, and then we do it again and again and again.
Well, it sounds like you need a panel of other people to try it out for you.
Yeah, we do, but we try not to give away our secrets too fast or tell everyone.
Yeah, or like if it hasn't been perfected yet, because sometimes when we drink it, we're like, this is disgusting. Like, I can't believe we came up with this.
But there's something there. Something's there. Yeah. And then like we give to our parents, our girlfriends, and then we try to tweak on it. But yeah, we definitely need a huge panel of people.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. You have an intuition about it, but maybe the first and second iteration of it is not going to be the best beverage, but you just have to keep going.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's... So many. Wow.
it's definitely a lot of reading too.
Yeah. On the side, like we'll try to read a lot of bartending books, food science books. And with those, that kind of helps decrease the cost because they'll kind of show interesting pairings that you wouldn't really realize. So that kind of helps in with our research and development for new drinks. So books have power. They really do.
Now, are you going to be doing any more pop-up events?
We've been looking into it. We've been trying to see how we can make it as safe as possible for everyone to, you know, come in and enjoy. With especially with COVID going on and like different stores trying out their own method with COVID. So we are definitely looking into how we can implement ink with their system and try to make it as safe as possible.
Yeah, and some people have been asking us to make our drinks at their weddings next year. So hopefully, if things slow down, maybe we can go to people's weddings and still share drinks at their special moment.
Thanks so much to Steve and Kevin. You can find them in a couple places.
Definitely on our Ink Instagram, which is Ink Coffee and Craft. And there's a link to our website there to inkcnc.com.
Coming up on the Drinking Buddy Show, pro skater and entrepreneur Jason Rogers joins us to talk about his new beverage venture, Yato. We'll talk about his unique childhood as a sponsored skateboarder, his previous businesses, and what inspired him to create America's first shochu highball, or chuhai, company. Thanks for listening to The Drinking Buddy Show. Be sure to subscribe and share it with your buddies. Check out our latest artisanal snack offerings at www.thedrinkingbuddyshop.com. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Take care and drink well.